think he's coming back?
I don't know.
I won't bury you.
You don't owe these people anymore. You've given them everything.
Not everything. Not yet.
Everyone to the Sens Call-Ups, broadcasting from Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. I'm Cardinal, and I'm here with Canuck and Pan. This is episode number 2 for Wednesday, August 1st, 2012. The SU forums are still up and running at sensunderground.com. You can contact us via email at podcast@senscallups.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at @senscallups. We're here a little earlier than we expected to be, but the kind of news that Sens fans got earlier this week, we had to return to the airwaves.
The Golden God demanded another podcast.
Woohoo! Yeah, and thanks everyone for all the feedback from the last episode. That was very encouraging and really great to get that feedback. Just want to quickly let you know on a funny note, Studio 65 is in a little bit of state of... It needs some repairs. Let's just say a mountain lion came in and wreaked havoc in here, and we got some issues, but we'll get it cleaned up, and we're pressing forward tonight, and hope you enjoy this too.
Yeah, and with that, guys, Twitter, that's really blown up. We're at, I think, about 207 now. So that's really looking good. So keep telling your friends, tell your family, get your mom to follow us on Twitter, and we'll definitely try to grow this show in one way, shape, or form.
I don't want the mums following us on Twitter. Come on, man.
Well, I didn't say my mom to follow.
On that note, the big reason that we're back this week is, well, the biggest news that's come out of the Sens all year, not the signing of Erik Karlsson, not his winning the Norris Trophy, but the Golden God is coming back for another season. Just like we hoped for, just like we prayed for, the God is coming back. I can't think of anything that could... That's like a Christmas present in July.
That was the best surprise that I had that morning. Man, out of the blue, greatest news ever.
No, absolutely. It's going to be great to see him back. That was one of my main concerns for the seasons coming up, and just how can we replace this guy?
Well, I was worried about it, and as soon as I heard that he was working out with the team in Frölunda, and Karlsson was there as well, and there were reports that it was going pretty well, and even the comments that were coming out of Brian Murray just now and again saying, "Oh, there's no news, but you know, I'm positive." I started to feel a little more hopeful about it, but until it actually happens, I don't get my hopes up too high. I was hoping, but I wasn't necessarily assuming it was a done deal.
It's a little crazy because it feels like we really needed him to come back, right? All those young forwards, Yeah, there'd be a real hole if he wasn't there.
Absolutely. But I'm just glad that he's come back. I was interested. There was a lot of talk, you know, in the weeks coming up to this about whether there was going to be a contract extension signed, or was that last year of his contract going to be bought out like they did a few years ago and he'll sign another one. And I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed that he said, nope, I signed this contract. I made my money up front. I'm playing this contract out. I'm like, what? Could this guy be any better of a human? Honestly.
It's amazing. Like, the whole entire hockey world, and even myself, you know, of course they're going to give him a contract extension. That seems to be the right thing to do. But he's just bucking the trend here. He's coming out and saying, you know what? This isn't about the money. He even said that. This is about my love of hockey. And like, wow. Wow. You know, class act.
Start to finish. And I think it was an interview with him himself. I'm trying to remember where I was hearing this, whether it was an interview with him or whether somebody had been talking to him about after this season. You know, what is he, you know, he's saying he's feeling really good. Is he going to be back for more than one season? And the talk was he would wait to see how he was feeling before there he does anything about signing a contract for next year. So there's no pressure to get one signed this year. There's no pressure to not get one signed. It's like, you know what, we'll talk about that later. It's all about playing for this year. This is my contract. I'm playing for it. I'm happy with it. I'm not disgruntled. I'm not worried about the money. Let's just go.
Is it $1 million? Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, $1 million in his pocket.
That's what he's making. His cap hit is still the same as it's been in previous year. It is just was it was a front-loaded contract like all the other ones that we're seeing these days.
Right.
Right.
So his cap hit is still the same, which can you remind me again approximately what that was?
4.5
Five? Yeah, something
four
like that.
4.5 Okay.
Yeah.
Still really cheap, especially for a guy of that caliber too, right?
I was going to say that leadership. And I mean, he scored, what was it, 50-some-odd points last year? 47 points?
Something like that, yeah.
And for a guy who just came off back surgery?
And what, played maybe 60 games or so?
Yeah. Yeah, he can still contribute. Like, he's 30. Well, let's look what Dallas is doing with 40-year-olds. How many do they have going? They got Whitney. They've got Jágr.
Oh, the Jágr went there. See, the nice part that I like about all these free agents this summer is they're all going to the West Conference. Go ahead. Go. Go. Jágr out of Philly. Fine with me.
Yeah, well, it's a little crazy. I'm just so happy to have Alfie coming back because I actually got tickets to – back in last November, I got tickets to the final home game of the year against Boston.
Yeah.
Because back in November, we did not look like we were making the playoffs at all.
Yeah.
And my worry was if we didn't make the playoffs, you know, there wouldn't be any home games after that one. And just in case it was Daniel Alfredson's last season, I wanted to be at that home game. And got tickets to it. Ended up it wasn't his last home game because he was there for the playoffs. But now he's coming back this season as well. I'm just happy to I'll be there to see him this year for sure. I can't wait to hear the Alfie chants at 11-11 of every period of every home game.
No, that's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. That's going to carry all year long. There's no way the Red Scarf Union is going to let that die down, let alone all the other fans that jumped on board with that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I certainly hope so. And I mean, it may be a little quiet, like every, you know, preseason games and so on. People are a little jaded because it's not the playoffs. But I think it's a great way to build some atmosphere, you know, every period. Whether the team's winning or not, it still builds up some energy in the building, and the team can feed off that, especially if they need it, if they're down by a goal or something in the third.
It's atmosphere. Like, we need atmosphere in this arena, so
exactly.
Bring it on.
Exactly.
Now, have you heard any other feedback from, like, what have you heard on the streets and kind of at work and that sort of thing? I've heard nothing but positive news, with the exception of maybe reading, you know, the usual TSN forum posts from the Habs or Leaf fans that are trying to say things, oh, well, you never win the cup if he's coming back and that sort of thing. But that's the usual troll garbage. But in general, what have you heard?
I was going to say, yeah, because the Swedish captain of the Maple Leafs did such a good job of getting to the to the Stanley Cup finals even. Yeah. Whatever.
I was happy you didn't have to go to Vancouver before leaving.
Touche. I've heard nothing but positive. I mean, I don't even bother listening to the – it's just noise. The Leafers and the Habs fans who are just bitter that they have a captain that sucks and we have a captain that everybody adores and the rest of the league respects.
Yeah.
They don't
laugh.
He's the
longest serving captain now, I think. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But when was the last time that somebody turned to Daniel Alfredson in an all-star game and said, suck it, Alfie? Never. Never. So, you know, our captain has a little bit more respect. So no, I don't even bother listening to that. But I mean, everybody I've talked to is just as ecstatic as I am.
I hear one person actually kind of wonder if it was a good idea. And I think from a health concern, not that they didn't want them to come back, of course, a big Alfie fan, but really kind of, you know, worried maybe about the concussions and the health and that sort of stuff. But hey, he took the month and evaluated himself. I'm sure he had the long conversations with his family too. So
yeah, he did actually. In one interview, he was saying, you know, I talked about it with my wife and my kids, and they're totally behind him doing this. So maybe we'll see more of his sons being the flag bearers at the opening of Sens games at Scotiabank Place, like they did for, was that game six?
Yeah, game six. That was neat.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That had me nervous. Because right when I saw his kids come out, I was like, you know what? I think he's done. Yeah, I thought he was going to be done.
I think it was the, in case he doesn't come back, we want to do this.
Yeah.
And that's why I sort of went, oh, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, because I was up in the stands watching that and going, you know, is this it? It certainly could be with something like this, but I'm very happy that I was wrong.
Yeah.
Very happy I was wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if he's really concerned about the concussions, though, because in the interviews or whatever I read, he was more so talking about his back than anything.
Yeah. So, he was referencing the back problems he had before. Yeah. And he was fine this past season, too, with that, right?
Yeah. Well, his back is the thing, that the injury that he's had ongoing. Yeah. Like, he's had problems with it for years. I mean, the concussions, yeah, they're serious, but they were a relatively recent problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
minor ones, too, as minor as a head.
Well, as minor as a brain injury can be, I suppose.
Yeah. I guess just that surgery that he had last summer probably just made big changes to him. So
exactly. Well, I was listening to I'm not sure if it was Sean Donovan or Jason York. I think it was actually Chummy who was on the radio last summer, and he said, oh yeah, it was the day that Alfie had his surgery, like the day of, and he was out walking his dog. No, sorry, he was out jogging that night, and he went past Alfie's house, and Alfie was out walking his dog the day he had had surgery. And he was like, yeah, I feel good. I feel really good.
That was a day surgery?
Yeah.
Wow.
what's that chemical that Wolverine has in his bones? Is it
like, adamantium?
Yeah, there we go. He's built to that stuff. He's a cyborg.
Yeah, it's a week surgery for everybody else, but for the Golden God, it's a day. Anyway, glad he's coming back. Absolutely glad he's coming back. Refresh my memory on this one. Who were the assistant captains last year? It was Phillips.
Spezza, McCulloch.
Neil had it a couple times, didn't he?
I was going to say Neil had it a couple of times. I'm trying to remember who was out of the lineup when he had it.
Neil would have it when someone was out. I think, did Spezza get hurt for a bit?
I can't remember.
Neil was getting it. Yeah, I don't remember. But Neil's the alternate captain.
Okay, I didn't remember McCulloch having it, because that was the one I was wondering about. Because I knew that Spezza had it, and I knew that Phillips had it, but I couldn't remember when it was that Neil did. I mean, they're all really good choices. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Especially, I think Spezza has really grown into that role over the past couple of years. I mean, if you told me that three or four seasons ago, I would have said something along the lines of, giggles? Assistant? Really? But
anyway,
but I think he's really grown into the role of assistant captain. I know there's been a lot of debate about whether he's a future captain or not. Especially on previous episodes of Sens Underground, never mind in the forums.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think there's a bet on it somewhere. I'm not sure.
Yep.
That was the big question, right? If Alfie didn't come back, well, I don't think you head to, you know, next year, next season, after this, you know, who's going to take that captaincy? And it's certainly, you know, this is a hot debated topic. It seemed like a natural franchise fit would have been Spezza. You know, he's kind of a front man, front line center, first line center. But I don't know if he's an inspiring person. You know, you kind of hear more like the Neil is kind of the more traditional captain. But, you know, it wouldn't be the first time where a team has picked a captain that isn't necessarily the dominant force in the locker room. I'm thinking of Pittsburgh.
Kind of like when we had like Randy Cunningworth.
or even down in Pittsburgh, right? Crosby given captain. I mean, that was more of a, no offense against Crosby, but I think that was more of a marketing thing, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because I remember Cherry talking about that, because Gary Roberts was on the team at that point. I think Crosby was 21, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, he was giving it really, really young.
I think he was still teething at that time, so.
He definitely was crying, though.
Yeah, yeah, he's gotten better at that.
I don't know. It's the way that I'm seeing the captaincy after Alfredson. Well, number one, I don't think Spezza may not be playing when he's 36, 37, because Alfie will be back for the next 8 years. but it's kind of sometimes like when they choose a new pope, and when you've had one around for a long, long time, and you don't really want to lock into one that's going to be for another long run, you may want to choose someone older. And then with that, is Spezza really the guy that can control the room? We might be looking at Carlson. Hopefully they're going to try – the marketing's really high on him. He seems to be a really good guy. Is he a born leader that once again, 21 years old, that's not necessarily something to see. But if you can throw this C onto a Chris Phillips for a couple years
– yeah.
And then once he leaves, give it to Carlson. I think those are really the two avenues that we'd be going – Spezza right after, or then Phillips to Carlson.
This could be something. Go ahead, Colonel.
I was going to say I wouldn't be surprised if it was Chris Neal instead of Chris Phillips, because Chris Neal's contract is longer, number one, and I think he's got attention of a lot of the younger players in the room, and he. From a couple of different conversations on Team 1200 or other places that I've been catching little news bits over the summer, Chris Neal is kind of a quiet leader and a loud leader at the same time. He's certainly a lead by example with work ethic, big time.
That's true. He's always been really consistent through when he's played. And something that I didn't catch on last time that we recorded for episode one was he ended up taking a pay cut.
He did.
Or the extension.
That's right.
To get term, he did. Absolutely. So, it's one of those things that we won't have to think about this year, but it'll be a debate that comes up at the end of next season, the end of the upcoming season, which hopefully will start before too long.
It probably, halfway through the year, this will start entering subconsciously into our minds, and we'll probably find ourselves talking about it, like talking about who in the dressing room, who on the team is starting to really rise up. And it will also depend, of course, on how the season's going, if we're starting to think about this being a twilight for Alfie or not. So
I'm still saying it 8 more years.
You heard it here first, folks. 8 more years for Alfie.
Yeah, good luck with all that.
Woo.
All right. Well, I mean, now that we've hashed Spezza to death, we can move on to the rest of the forwards. Because we got we have a lot of forwards on this team right now, even with Bobby Butler being bought out. We'll talk about that in a second. But I was trying to map out the other day, you know, where do I think even the players that are signed right now, where are they going to end up? I mean, some of the pairings are automatic, at least at the moment they're automatic, with McCulloch and Spezza being together and Turris and Alfie being together. I wouldn't be surprised if Alfie gets moved up to the top line if there are a couple of young players or new players or both who gel well with Turris on the second line. I don't know. It's one that could go either way, and judging by the way that Paul McLean carried things last year, he's not afraid to juggle lines even within a game, period to period, if somebody needs to sit or if somebody is deserving some extra time. So, I mean, the top two lines, I'm not sure who's going to be playing with Spezza and McCulloch. I presume that Letendresse will be playing with Turris and Alfie if he arrives in shape, if he's able to play at a level which McLean considers to be acceptable.
I'm having a brain block here. Who played primarily with Spezza and McCulloch last year on the
Greening.
First line?
Colin Greening played a lot there.
Thanks, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. He actually did pretty good. I was looking at his stats a couple days ago. I was like,
he did.
I can't remember exactly what he did. But
He only had about 15 goals, but he did play a big – he kind of played a big body presence to just be around.
Yeah.
He certainly, I didn't think he looked out of place. Did he have some games where he wasn't really noticeable, like he wasn't doing anything amazing, like McCulloch and Spezza can, you know, blinding burst of speed or, you know, a wicked pass through three different sets of skates that doesn't get intercepted and suddenly it's in the net? I didn't have a problem with him being there, but I think he may be a player that bounces around a little bit because he did spend some time on the third line last year because he's a big
yeah.
guy.
He's a big guy, yeah.
He's a big guy, and he's not afraid to throw his weight around. And I think it was Neil, Greening, and Smith who were just grinding out some nights on the third line. Sometimes Condra was in there too. So he could be all over the place. As far as Latendresse, I mean, I think Latendresse is up against Regan because Regan can play a third or a fourth line role, but I think he really wants to get himself. He wants to prove that he can be a second line. He's a natural center, but he's going to be out on the wing because Turris isn't being moved.
No, that's true.
Out of the center.
I don't know if Latendresse is against Regan or if Latendresse is just against himself.
Well, I mean, he has to pass against himself. Yeah, first. He's his own worst enemy, but after that, he's also in competition with other people trying to take that spot away from him, I think.
Well, Regan hasn't really proven anything yet.
I think this is what you're alluding to, guys, is that we have so many forwards here, and they're all on one-way contracts. Like, the proven guys, okay, we know what we're getting with McCulloch. We know what we're getting with Spezza, Alfie, Turris. I think we have a decent idea of where he's going to be aligning himself, and certainly, you know, he's only going to get better. But then you start looking at Neil too, but you start looking at things like Condra, Dogovins, O'Brien, Greening, Regan. Those are a lot in, you know, Latendresse. A lot of question marks there, you know. How are they going to pan out, you know?
It's going to make for an interesting preseason. Yeah. I really think it's going to make for an interesting preseason, especially when you mix in.
You guys fit in, right?
Exactly. Where do they fit in? DaCosta was just signed to a two-way contract. I don't expect him to start on the big team, but he's available. He started okay last year and then faded pretty quickly and then went down.
His plus-minus was brutal.
Up here it was.
Even down in Bingo.
But Bingo was a bad team.
Yeah, everybody's records are bad down there.
Yeah. That was not a good team last year. It's because they lost so many pieces from the Calder Cup run. So, I mean, Robin Leonard's numbers weren't good in Bingo either last year, but we know
he stepped it up after, Bishop got brought on. So,
yeah.
Hopefully he keeps that. He's going to be down again next year.
Exactly. But I mean, even with Bobby Butler being bought out, come training camp, there's DaCosta who could be sniffing around looking for a job. There's Silverberg. Maybe Silverberg ends up on the top line.
Yeah.
Or Latendresse ends up
with Zibad in here.
Yeah, there's Zibad. There's Mark Stone, because Mark Stone is a 2010 draft pick, and he's a pretty good scorer.
Yeah,
he didn't look out of place at all in game 5, was it, of the playoffs that he was up? He made the pass to Spezza for the winning goal.
Yeah,
he looked good in that game. That's a playoff game.
Yeah,
in MSG, for crying out loud.
I think we haven't really seen enough of these guys to make a full decision. You're right in regards to the preseason being the key. But these guys can't really be an elite top six yet. And I mentioned it in the forums, but wouldn't Shane Doan just look great?
Yeah.
Now, I think he's asking for 3 years of $4 million or $4 million a year or something like that.
Four years at $30 million, so $7.5 million a year. And he's 35.
Come on, Eugene, cut that check.
Yeah. That was one rumor that came out the other day.
Yep, yeah, there it is.
We had the cap room for it, but we certainly have a clog of forwards. I mean,
exactly. Well, I mean, we'd have to trade a few of them away.
Exactly.
To get them. He's a free agent. Sorry, he's a UFA. I was thinking Bobby Ryan. My bad.
Right, right.
Do we really want to lock ourselves in with? Don't get me wrong. I like Shane Doan. He's certainly.
I wouldn't want him for four years. Is too long. I thought it was $4 million a year. $7.5 million is too much.
Yeah, he wants a lot of coin. And I mean, I don't begrudge him it. He's certainly a valuable player, but I don't think I want another old forward. I like the fact that this team is young, and it's going to be getting younger in the next few years as some of the older players retire or move on.
We're not being hypocritical after praising Alfie and then saying this about Doan, are we?
No. Alfie is a class of one. There is no other Alfie.
True on that.
And Doan hasn't played 16 seasons here already.
Yeah.
I'm just on Cap Geek right now. I'm just going to do a little bit of math here. But Ottawa's third last in the league in...
in payroll, yeah.
Payroll with $20 million over.
I think we're $4 million under the floor because the floor is
Jeez.
Yeah, well, the floor is $16 million less than the cap. So the cap's 70, so the floor would be 54. And we're spending right around 50.3 right now?
Yeah, something? Just about. Yeah, 50.2.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got to sign somebody. We only have six defensemen on. Now, that's made up of 12 forwards, six defensemen, and two goaltenders. So, I mean, we can add a couple of players to the roster, but I wouldn't be. Maybe we'll end up with Bobby Ryan. Never know. I mean, that's a possibility, too.
That's something I hope that we get him. It's just, do we have the pieces to get him?
And does he want to come? Well, actually, he's under contract.
I don't think he has a say.
That's right.
Yeah, I think he's still an RFA. He's young.
So, what do you guys think? Like, in terms, you know, we know that the preseason we're gonna have a really good look at the kind of the prospects, like Zibanejad, Mark Stone, and Silverberg. From my understanding, I don't know about Mark Stone, but certainly Zibad and Silverberg, they're burning a contract year no matter what now, right?
I believe yes. So
yeah, they have to play in the AHL.
So you know, we know they're not going to be the best at the beginning, and preseason sometimes is not necessarily an indicator of things. Sometimes it is, but
Brandon Bochensky, hello.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that Bochensky thing. But I wonder if we're not going to get a really long look at those guys at the beginning of the year.
Oh, I wouldn't be at all surprised, especially if a couple.
With all
of them
the one ways are there isn't the space. There's no space for them.
Well,
play them in the preseason, see how it goes. These are going to be the easy guys to move up and down between Ottawa and Bingo.
True.
And we can play them a bunch of games, like bring one up for five games, bring another one up for five games. It also depends, I think, on injury.
Yeah.
Like, do we have people who are hurt? Mm-hmm. Because we kind of got bit with that pretty hard last year to begin the season, did we not? I seem to recall there was a couple of injuries that were nasty. And
Regan got out very quickly, right? Out for the season.
Yeah, he was out for the whole season with that shoulder. So we'll see. I mean, there are lots of prospects that are around, and we have lots of one ways. But I mean, if suddenly we find that Regan and somebody else are moved to Anaheim because Ryan's coming in, well, that would be probably one of the top six spots, and then a spot or two in the bottom six that just opened up. So, who knows? It's going to be interesting because I don't think everything is over yet. Or maybe Bobby Ryan doesn't move at all. Who knows?
And just a little quick note on Zibanejad. You may recall from the last episode, we're talking how he looked really skilled during the prospect camp, but maybe a little soft. And we're talking about his PR image, you know, retweeting his girlfriend, that sort of thing.
Yeah, lots of players do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's 19, right? He's playing now in the under-20 championship over there. So,
He's got two goals tonight, too, in the U-20.
Sweet. So following up on what I did with episode one is, you know, we looked at that little theme song we had for Zibanejad, and maybe it was a little too childish, and maybe we should think of something a little bit more heavier. So I came up with something, and have a listen to this and give me your opinion here. I'll hit play here.
Mika. Mika. Mika, Zibanejad. Mika, Zibanejad. Wow! Mika, Mika, Zibanejad. Mika, Mika, Zibanejad.
Definitely a little bit more grown up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that'll toughen him up.
Yeah, I'm full of angst now. I just want to bang my head against the wall or something.
Maybe I should send it to him, see if he wants to use it for a warm-up song.
Yeah, put that on the air. That'll freak out the families in the stands. That'll be fun.
Anyway.
Good one. Well done. We've been talking a lot about the sort of big-name prospects, like Zibat and Mark Stone and Silverberg. There are lots of other prospects that we probably won't be having a look at this year, maybe next year, maybe the year after that, that were in the rookie camp. And some of them are looking for a bounce back season in wherever they're playing now. Like Matt Pumple had a really bad season in Peterborough. Now, he had some injury problems and and I think it was a sickness problem as well. And he just got traded from Peterborough to Kitchener. So hopefully he'll be able to have a bounce back season, because his season last year wasn't very good. Stefan Nason, who was the other first round pick with Pumple and Zibad, he had a pretty good year last year. I think he's just looking to have the same sort of thing again. The one I'm interested to see what happens with.
Do they still play in the OHL, or are they done now?
They're both 19.
So they've got one more year then.
They've got one more year. I'm not exactly sure when their birthdays are, so they may be back there as an overager, or they may be in the AHL.
No, because I think if you play in the CHL, you can't get called up unless you're on emergency.
That's right. If you're eligible for CHL, you can't go to the American League. You have to go back to the CHL team that owns you. And I'm not sure when their birthdays are. They're both 19 at the moment. I checked.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if they have to be there, or if they may be back as an overager, or how it all works. The one that I forgot to check the age on is the one that's interesting me, is the guy who I think he's still eligible for another year of junior, is Darren Kramer. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. He was the sixth round pick in 2011. He's a bit of a tough guy.
Okay.
2010, 2011, he had 14 points and 306 penalty minutes, including 46 fighting majors. And last season, that's in 68 games. Last season in 71 games, he had 40 points, including 22 goals and 200 penalty minutes. So
he's a goon. He's still,
well, he's a goon, but he's
but
kind
he can
of
play.
Yeah, he's a goon with hands.
Nice.
And he's also
He's a forward, eh?
He is. He is. Okay. I think he's still junior eligible, so I don't think we'll see him around this year.
We need more forwards, man.
Well, okay.
Remember when we had all those defensemen last year?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened there?
He could be you know, next year or the year after that. He could be the new nuclear deterrent that we kind of feel we're missing with the departure of Karkner. But he actually can play. Like he's Chris Neal, but bigger. Like he's a big kid. And he's also the guy who invented the peanut butter jar. He's actually patented a peanut butter jar. Have you heard about this?
Nope.
Do tell.
Okay. I'm completely serious about this. He's actually applied for a patent for a peanut butter jar because he kept getting annoyed with when you're going down to the bottom of a big peanut butter jar with a knife and you're getting your knuckles covered with all the peanut butter around the edge of the top of the jar. So he invented a jar that has a lid, a middle, and a bottom. And the middle unscrews when it's empty, and you can put the lid on the bottom half of the jar. So you only have – once the top half of the jar is empty, you unscrew it, throw it in the recycling bin, and put the lid on the bottom part so you don't get your knuckles covered in peanut butter.
So if Brian Murray is signing this guy, you just need to pay him league minimum because he's going to be a billionaire off of that.
Is that not brilliant?
That's brilliant. That is so brilliant.
I don't know. I mean, all I heard there is that he doesn't mind getting his knuckles dirty unless it's peanut butter.
I hadn't thought of it that way. It was one of those stories that, okay, it's got to be true. And I looked into it, and it is true. You can actually find it. I think I found it on YouTube with an interview with him about what he wants to do with a peanut butter jar. And he's got a working prototype.
He's a man with a vision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not just a hockey player. Like he's got some brains that he's doing something with, but he knows what he needs to do in a hockey game to get himself noticed. And, well, got drafted in the sixth round, so we'll see.
That's pretty cool. Neat story. Yeah.
We've been talking an awful lot about our forwards. We haven't, except for the comment a second ago from Pan there, we haven't been talking about our blue line and our defensemen. And what's that going to look like? Because we've lost a couple of names back there, so it is going to look different from last year's setup. I think some of the pairings will be the same. Or at least one of the pairings will be the same. I think Cowan and Gonchar will be back together because they played pretty well last year.
We lost Kuba as the big lose, right?
Well, Kuba.
It's a big win.
Yeah. No.
Forget Kuba. I don't really care about Kuba. I'm just glad Gilroy's not back.
Yeah. Gilroy was... I mean, I kind of feel bad for Lee because he never... I don't think he ever really got a fair shot at being what I think he could be.
Yeah,
and he's not going to be the ninth overall offensive defenseman that Muckler, I guess, presumed he was going to be. But he was turning into be a a good third pairing defenseman last year.
He was just starting to get really good when we got rid of him. Well, good in the sense that I didn't notice him, and I think that's what you want from your kind of your everyday defenseman, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like Chris Phillips. If Chris Phillips has a good game,
you don't notice
him. Notice him. Yeah. Exactly. If he has a great game, that's when he scores, because we know we're going to win.
It's true. It's very true.
Scores twice, milestone.
Yeah, statistically, it's true. If he scores, we're pretty much guaranteed to win. But so, I mean, there's Mathot, who's coming in. It was the trade for
Foligno.
Thank you. Mind blank. I presume he's going to play with Carlson because he is a big, solid, not afraid to throw a check, fairly stay-at-home defenseman, which would be a good steadying influence. He's kind of like Cowan in many ways.
How's his time on ice? I hope he's got good cardio to keep up with Carlson's time on ice.
It's pretty good. It's pretty well. I mean, you can always trade him off with Phillips if need be, or whoever else. But
yeah. Just pass up the puck and wait by the goalie.
You stay back.
I'll stay here. We won't have any. If we have any more 5-on-1s, I know I'm going to be the one. So that's fine.
Yeah, I think last year he was averaging about 20 minutes. Yeah. And I saw a couple of tweets from him saying he's like, "Actually, I'm faster than you think."
And, well, the other thing is Carlson plays a lot of power play minutes, and Mathot probably wouldn't be. So there's probably 6. So now you're up to 26, and Carlson was playing up almost 30 in some nights, but I think it'll probably be fairly close. I don't think it'll be as much of a problem as you might first imagine.
Yeah, if you need to switch up Mathot with Cowan once in a while, just for
exactly.
I think we'll be okay.
Exactly. Now, we also have Lundin coming in. We picked him up he was a UFA from Minnesota. I know nothing about him.
Wasn't he Kuba without the hands?
Oh, yeah, yes, that's right. So soft and no hands. Oh, that's good.
6'7", whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes a number 7 with somebody like Borowiecki, or I don't think Wierkosz will make it up this year. He took the puck in the throat last year.
Behind.
Yeah, and he recovered from it, but I think he may need a little more time to get back into a really good playing rhythm. So I think it would probably be down to either Borokop or Gryba to be the extra, who might supplant Lundin completely, especially if it's Borowiecki, because he's the other one who could sub Mathot, because he skates pretty well and he crushes people.
Yeah.
So. He might be the seventh defenseman who subs in more often than he sits out.
Just hope these guys get more exposure too, because not this year coming up, but the year after. Gonchar's done. You know he's not coming back. And Lundin, I think, only signed a 1 year. So we're going to have a lot of holes to fill once again.
Well, Wierkosz is a bit of a puck mover, not as much as Carlson or Gonchar, but he is a bit of a puck mover, so he might slot into that role eventually as well.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'd love to see Borokop get in there, too. I'd love to see Borokop get in there. The only thing there is he's going to be trying to set a big impression, right? So he's going to be probably taking gambles and chances to try to hit somebody. So you see a bit of that kind of rookie stuff, but still be exciting.
He's pretty steady.
Yeah, and he's really impressed in the rookie camps.
Yeah, he's impressed pretty much everybody he's played in front of. For a guy who was drafted in the 4th round as a maybe, he's come a long, long way pretty quickly. So, hopeful. I mean, there's also the long-term prospect of Cody Ceci, who is definitely a puck mover.
Definitely. He's big.
Yeah, he's not a small boy. He's not.
At 18 years old, he's like well over 200 pounds. I think 6'3" or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He's not a little will-o'-the-wisp by any stretch of the imagination. He's not the best defensive defenseman around, but it's not as if he's just got rocket engines to move forward and not pay attention to what's going on in his own zone. He needs to work on it, and he needs to work on his skating. But as I said in our last episode, I couldn't be happier that we picked him up. So he's a more of a long-term prospect for a puck mover. It's like the one that comes after Wierkosz. So, I mean, who knows what the blue line's going to look like. It's not going to be quite as – I don't think it's going to be quite the adventure as the forwards, but I think there's going to be some interesting looks at different players throughout the preseason, which hopefully will be starting in the next 6 weeks. Yeah.
If you're Brian Murray right now, do you think, you try to make a move for another top six forward at this point? Or are you just kind of, no, we're sticking to the rebuild. Let's wait and see and then see what's available a few weeks into the season?
We did the rebuild. It was 2 months.
I don't think Melnick's past that philosophy yet. I think he's still in rebuild mode now. He's just,
you got to hit the cap floor, though. We've got so many of these prospects.
If the right offer comes along, if I'm Brian Murray, I'll make it. And I think Brian Murray is, I mean, the work that he's done in the past couple of years, I know when he first became GM, a lot of us, myself included, sort of were going, okay, right, whatever, and didn't have a lot of confidence at first. But I think he's made some smart moves up to now, like the Filatov trade. That didn't work out, but you know what? It was a late second-round pick. Who cares?
Yeah, it was a good gamble.
No, exactly. That was a good gamble. The
Latondre Leaf, too, right? It's a gamble, but it's low risk.
Brian Lee for Gilroy. Mm. It didn't work out, but I don't think Brian Lee had a future in this organization. Anyways, he got moved somewhere else. He's playing more. He's probably happier there. So that's a wash.
And he re-upped it, so good for him.
Yeah, exactly. Good on him. You know, he'll get more minutes. He'll get more playing time. I'm all for it. But as far as Brian Murray looking for another top six, if the right offer is around, he'll make it. But I don't think he's going to get caught out and pay too much or get too little for if he's making a trade. I don't think he's going to get caught out, kind of like what Columbus did. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I think he'll make the trade if the right trade is there. But I don't think he'll make a trade simply for the purpose of making a trade.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Sens Call-Ups on the Sens Underground Network.
Does your team suck? Is your team looking for answers on offense? Well, then it's time to consider Danny Heatley. Danny Heatley, if used as directed by him, can help restore a healthy offense. Danny Heatley may score 50 goals next season, and at least a few of them will be meaningful. You need to talk to your GM to see if Danny Heatley is right for you. Side effects of Danny Heatley include thin skin, whiny attitude, slow feet, potential cancer in the room. Don't take Danny Heatley if your team has chemistry. Danny Heatley should not be combined with coaches who like hard work. Danny Heatley may cause anxiety, bitterness, overactive saliva glands, and empty bank account. Talk to your GM and see if Danny Heatley is right for you.
Around the rest of the league, there's still been some interesting things going on since the start of free agency. The biggest one, of course, would be Shea Weber. First of all, gets the offer sheet for the $110 million, 14 seasons, to go to Philadelphia. And then, there was a lot of talk about would Nashville match it, or would they take the 4 first-round picks, or would they trade the picks for players, etc. And they matched it. And I have to give Nashville some pretty major credit for stepping up and matching that big an offer sheet, because that's going to be hard financially on that organization. But I think they had to do it because they had already lost Suter.
The last time something big like this happened, that was, what, Ryan Lowe and Brian Burke down in Anaheim? Is that what it was?
There was what's his name? Dustin Penner.
Dustin Penner, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Kevin Lowe.
Kevin Lowe.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's. I mean, everyone goes, we should do offer sheets more often, but they do create a really, really big mess. And I think, as a hockey fan, I find the whole concept of $110 million over 14 years to be ridiculous. I find it's just a ridiculous amount of money. Is he a really good player? Yes, but it's as ridiculous as the Parise and Suter 13-year, $98 million contracts. I think it's just absurd that they're that long.
I'm pretty sure the three of them together can just get together and buy Greece at this point. Like, that's a lot of money.
Maybe they're going to buy Phoenix and move them somewhere.
You could buy Phoenix for just that one contract alone, couldn't you?
Exactly. Exactly. And I give Nashville an awful lot of credit for matching it. And certainly Weber's been coming out and saying the right things, but I'm happy that this is there. I'm going to be the team is certainly organized to build itself into a contender, blah blah blah. A bit of a, you know, change of direction from what his agent had been saying only a week earlier. But there's a part of me, like, it's, again, it's the hockey fan that finds the money ridiculous, that has a little bit of glee about the fact that the offer sheet had no movement or no trade clause.
That's a pretty crippling contract if you don't perform. That's an albatross if you don't live up to that.
It's an albatross, but it also means that, you know, no one's going to want him in the first couple of years when those huge upfront lump sum payments are there. But after that, they can probably trade him for some pretty good assets if they decide they want to, and he can't stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't pull a Rick Nash. He can't pull a Danny Heatley and say, no, I'm only going to blah, blah, blah. Nope. You're going to Columbus. you're going to Phoenix. You're going to anywhere I tell you you're going. And the agent was certainly, we want to negotiate a trade, no trade clause in. And if I was Nashville, I'd be telling them to go take a long walk on a short pier.
I don't even think can you negotiate that in?
I don't know. There's certainly been, you know, I think Nashville basically told them to go fly a kite. This is what was signed. This is what the offer is. This is what the contract is. That's it. That's all.
A couple of things with the signing, though, is if Nashville wouldn't have matched, you might as well just fold up the tent and leave.
Oh, yeah.
That would have destroyed the organization as a whole. Another thing is...
You think so?
Well, the draft picks sucked.
They're having issues already. Shea Weber's being their captain. He drives the fan base. So if he leaves...
Carrie Underwood can draw a crowd.
Well, still. But with that, if Weber would have been on Philly, they would have been a top team. So considering there's only four first-round picks, which kind of sounds like a lot, but when you're picking between 20 and 30... for those 4 years, it's like saying, okay, we'll take Shea Weber and we'll give you a Nick Foligno, Jim O'Brien, Andre Mezeraz, and I don't know.
Brian Lee.
Brian Lee.
They're not in a position that they need to rebuild or that they want to rebuild, right?
It wouldn't
and
even
go through those growing pains.
They would have just shut down or had to move. So that's another thing about this.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Pan, because one of the things I'm wrestling with is, okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding of the situation is Shea Weber basically agreed with Philadelphia to this offer sheet, right?
Yeah. Yep.
They made the offer to Shea Weber. They didn't make it to Nashville Predators. They said, Shea, we're going to offer you this contract. Do you want to come? And he's like, yeah. You know, they negotiated that. They went through that whole process of getting it onto ink and paper, more than just a conversation. It was, you know, what's involved with that. So to me, that almost suggests, yeah, I'd like to leave Nashville. What do you say, Nashville? I'd like to leave.
Do you want
to keep
me? I pretty much treated that as a plan B, though.
Yeah, I don't want to read into motives, but, you know, you can't help but to think that, right?
Well, no. Do you want to play on a cup contending team for the next 37 years and make $12 million a year?
And if you get sucky, you can always fill in for goalie.
Yeah. But the other thing, and I don't think a lot of people picked up on this, is the timing of when this offer was made. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but this offer was made after the first draft of the CBA came in. From the league.
It's almost a shot across the bow, isn't it?
Yeah, the 5 years. The five-year contract limit.
5 years, even pay throughout, no bonuses, all of that stuff.
Yeah,
this was a
point.
Prime example as to what the league does not want a contract to look like.
Well,
and then the Flyers created it, and they offered it. It's not that the player went out to ask for it.
Well, my question is, what's the difference between this contract and the Ilya Kovalchuk contract?
Well, I mean, it's the same kind of crazy category. Absolutely.
Is it just that the last seasons are $1 million instead of $500,000?
Yep.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, at what point does Bettman step in and take away draft picks here? Well,
this doesn't circumvent the cap, though.
Okay.
The Kovalchuk one, they were paying him, if you're looking at an inflationary basis, they were paying him less than minimum.
Oh, what was the term, too? Wasn't it like a ridiculous?
15?
Was it only 15? No, for the Kolacek deal.
It was 14 as well, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. So you make
14, 10, 15, like there's such 10, a difference.
Yeah, wow. Well,
half million here. And
huge
then,
difference.
Yeah, even the restructure didn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
okay.
It.
Well, I hope it works out for both sides of that, for Nashville and for Shea Weber, but...
I think Shea Weber's happy, because after... Well, what's
he's his getting name? His money.
He's getting his money, but even after Suter left, he said that he was disappointed in Suter for leaving.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Know what? He's going to be the heart and soul guy, so be it.
It's going to have more pressure on him, though, without Suter being there. Like, hi, you're the big star now. Suter's gone. You're making $26 million a year for the first 2 years. You'd better friggin' perform. You'd better win a Norris.
No, but I think he'll be fine.
I hope so. Depends on who he's playing with, but I hope so. I hope so.
That's that whole Albatross comment. If he doesn't live up to it, ooh.
Exactly. He becomes another Roberto Luongo or Rick DiPietro or Ilya Bryzgalov.
And actually, you know what? Being a Sens fan, I am ecstatic that Ottawa signed up Carlson when they did.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because there could have been a secondary offer sheet come in from any other team.
Oh, it would have been horrible.
To Carlson just blow up the budget.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Good point. Horrific. Good point. Wow.
Yike. Well, we also have the Rick Nash trade.
Oh, I ordered my Nash jersey and I got it in the mail. It's, but I think they made a mistake. It's a Lakers jersey with Nash on the back. So,
anyway,
it's pretty cool.
Hey, bring in the cheese. Hey, bring in the cheese. I think Columbus got absolutely fleeced on this. Now, I realize their hands were maybe not tied, maybe handcuffed. because of the no trade clause, no movement clause in Rick Nash's contract, that he could say, I only want to go to these teams. So those teams are the ones they could negotiate with. But
yep.
Brandon Dubinsky, Anisimov, Tim Erickson, who hasn't actually played in the NHL yet, and a first round pick for Rick Nash, they got hosed.
Every GM in the league would have taken that offer. For Nash to give up a similar kind of thing,
oh,
you know.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
A lot of tried it probably with the. They must have had a much, much sweeter deal. And Nash just said no.
Yeah, though they rumors here of what the Ottawa deal was. It did involve Robin Leonard and Zibanejad and some other. I can't remember who else too, but
Stone.
Foligno, because Foligno was one of the pieces they wanted.
Yeah, and Dubinsky and Foligno are very similar.
In
players.
Yeah, he just didn't want to come here. He didn't want to go to a lot of places. So, Columbus just got screwed.
They got screwed worse than the Danny Heatley situation here in Ottawa. Like, I fully understand the need to want to get rid of that. You know, it's a distraction in the locker room. But man, who knows what they had to go through?
But. Exactly. I feel sorry for Columbus, but the one thing I'm laughing about is Rick Nash is not a defensive player at all. He's an offense guy. So how many shots do you think he's going to be blocking? How many times do you think he's going to be collapsing to stand in front of the net and block shots like the Rangers were doing through seven games of round one?
If he can stand up to Tortorella or not.
Exactly. He may suddenly find out that Tortorella says, oh, you're not doing what I want. You're benched.
Yeah.
And he may find somebody, oh, I don't want to play in New York anymore. Well, too bad. So sad.
Well, a part of the average fan can't help but to be a little bit scared. New York Rangers were first in the Eastern Conference, a force to be contended with, as shown. They did really, great job in the playoffs. And now they have Nash. And they gave up Dubinsky. Now, I mean, the Gatorade cooler is going to be happy. But other than that, whoa, the rest of the league is... could be an issue, but then again, the Rangers have stacked their team before with a lot of superstars and it hasn't worked out, so time will tell.
But they didn't have a Lundqvist when they did that.
Yeah, and exactly,
the Rangers right now, they're just built around Lundqvist.
Yeah, they are, and they built a good team, and the team certainly buys into the Tortorella mantra, so we'll see whether Rick Nash can buy into it as well.
Oh, wait, but what is the Tortorella mantra? Is defense, it kind of like defense, Chef defense. Gordon Ramsay? You just F this, F that, and
scream at people to play defense and block shots and that sort of thing. Absorb punches if you happen to be Brian Boyle and Rick and Matt Carkner's coming towards you. Don't fight him. Be a punching bag. I don't know. We'll see. I'm kind of worried about New York, but maybe that maybe he'll be the key to their coming apart because he's the big star that maybe he'll get in conflict with some of the other players like Gabrick who I've bought into. You know, well, I don't want to do that and convince them not to. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
I'd be happy if I was a Rangers fan right now, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They totally won that deal.
Yeah.
Totally did. Now, I mean, we already kind of talked about Shane Doan because he's one of the big, he's really the only UFA name that's left out there, the big ones at least, about whether he's leaving Phoenix or, you know, whether he wants to stay there is dependent on whether there's an arena deal. And I thought I saw a rumor about a deal being signed, but I haven't seen anything official about it. So I don't believe anything on Twitter till I see it somewhere else because, well, Twitter's Twitter, right? You can post anything and people think it's real. But the rumors, you know, the rumors that he wants a 4-year, $30 million deal. And I'd say for the first couple of years, he's worth $7.5 million. I'm really not sure about the last couple of years out of that. He's put a lot of miles on a 35. He's already 35. He's put a lot of miles on that body playing all of his career in the Western Conference. I don't know whether he's going to be able to hold up for another 4 years at the caliber of play that he's at currently. So
I think he could.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah, I think
till the age of 40? I don't know.
4 years? Oh, yeah.
7.5 is a lot of money.
Exactly. He's rumors that the current buzz is that he was in Vancouver for a meeting and he had talked to them previously, so maybe he's going there, which would be funny because that would send them over the cap. So they'd have to get rid of Roberto Luongo and pay somebody to take him almost. So, I mean, he's still hanging around and I haven't heard much about him lately, about where he might be going. There's certainly been a lot of stifling of the Roberto Luongo to Toronto talk that was going on a few weeks back. Mm. I'm seeing more Jonathan Bernier to Toronto.
Well, just backing up a little bit about Roberto Luongo.
Yeah.
He's become the scapegoat there. And
oh, God, yes.
And you know what? The fans are going to regret this. I don't know. Am I naive here? Like, I thought...
Corey Schneider's awesome. I mean, if you didn't have a backup of the quality of Corey Schneider, they'd stick with Luongo, heaven and earth.
Yeah, I don't think Schneider's a bad goalie. I don't think Roberto Luongo's the problem.
No, he's not the problem. And we've done this in Ottawa too, so we blame our goalie for this and that and this and that. When really it's he needs goals scored in front of him too, guys.
And some defense played in front of him. So he's not shelled. Oh, yeah, I'm totally with you on that one. He's not the problem. His contract is part of the problem. And the fact that Corey Schneider is a very, very capable backup goalie is part of the problem. If Corey Schneider wasn't there, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Yep.
But I just find it ludicrous that Vancouver Canucks fans seem to think that Roberto Luongo is going to bring them quality players coming back. If I'm a GM talking to Vancouver, it's like, no, you want me to take Roberto Luongo off your
conditional
hands?
Pick.
No. What are you throwing in for me? Throw in a top six forward and I'll take him. I'm not taking him off your hands for nothing. Forget it.
Toronto wants a goalie.
You're paying me to take him. That's what I just don't. Because if you want to get rid of that albatross that's hanging over your neck, then you've got to pay me to do it.
It's the contract.
Exactly. I'm not doing it out of the goodness of my heart. I want a top six forward, and you're taking my albatross contract going back the other way. Like if it was Toronto, you're taking Komisarek at $4 million plus for 2 years.
Komisarek's got a no move.
Okay.
He probably want to go there.
I don't know. Tim Connolly and somebody else. Clark MacArthur. No,
I just see him going to Florida.
But Florida doesn't necessarily want him. That's just it. Like, he would like to go to Florida, but if you're Florida, do you really want him for the next 10 years on a goalie who may be on, you know, he's off the edge. He was on a little bit after they finally made the playoffs for the first time in how many years?
We've got Theodore and Clemenson.
Yeah. Well, you made it to the playoffs with Theodore last year.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's the be-all and end-all, but, you know, maybe they want to look at Bernier. The other person who's nosing around to look for a contract, not just Dominic Hasek, the name I heard the other day, Cristobal Huey.
Where is he now?
He was playing over in Europe.
Okay.
He was playing out his contract at $5 million a season or something like that that he had with...
Chicago loaned him.
Yeah, exactly. But they still had to keep paying him, didn't they?
Poor guy.
Yeah, but so they paid him the $5 million to go play somewhere else.
Go play somewhere else. Yeah. Now, Chicago's the other place that Luongo might end up, which would really put the spanner in the cogs for Vancouver to trade him to a division rival.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. Vancouver is just... they're almost as funny to me as the Leafs in some ways, because their fans are almost more delusional. You know, they're ready to win. Oh, well, we win the President's Trophy. We're a cup contender every year. No, you may win the President's Trophy a lot.
They made it to game 7.
Yeah, well, big deal.
You made it to game 7. It's you've got the pieces just in lineup, especially against Boston. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're a bad team like that. I'd like to see the Sedins actually do something in the playoffs. They seem to just fade away after they're getting hit once in a while.
But well, they were basically the same team this past season, and they were out in 5 against L.A.
And L.A. won the Cup.
L.A. won the Cup, but they went out in 5 against L.A.
Yeah, but L.A. also went 16-4.
Yeah, L.A. wasn't a bad team. So, they gelled.
But they were 8th place, not the President's Cup winners. So, I don't know. I don't have a lot of time for Vancouver fans. They're almost as obnoxious as Leaf fans. The Vancouver signed Guillaume Desbiens the other day, who played. He's had a couple of cups of coffee with Calgary, and I sort of went, okay, well, who is he? Apparently, he's a bit of a goon. I don't know a whole lot about him, but it's almost like Vancouver is going, okay, well, we keep getting pushed around by Boston, or we get pushed around. I mean, I think LA just played tough hockey and had a stellar goalie. I don't think they got necessarily gooned out. But it's almost as if they're looking to try and, you know, toughen up their team a little bit when, you know, the Bostons of the world come in and start pushing the Sedin sisters around a little bit. So, I don't know. I thought that was just an interesting signing. I sort of went, who?
Well, they need it.
Oh, yeah.
They need it. Because otherwise you've got Burrows and Burrows is falling around everywhere, just diving all the time. They don't have that team toughness.
No, they don't. Not at all. And that's something that Ottawa hopefully still does. I think they do. It's just going to be toughness by committee, and it may not be toughness in. It's not necessarily toughness in the absolute pounding people into the ice way, but it's certainly toughness and difficult to play against.
We're always trying to fight the last battle. It's not surprising that they're trying to add toughness or team toughness to Vancouver. I mean, they certainly need it, as Pan said, and. But, you know, even Ottawa, there's going to be this temptation to take a look at how we matched up against the Rangers and try to fight the last battle. And sometimes it's a good thing to look and sometimes it's a bad. But I haven't seen any knee jerks from Ottawa, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Since we've been talking about goalies for a second, how about Tim Thomas? Where's he? Have you heard anything about him lately, or is he still planning on taking a year off and then coming back and fulfilling his $5 million a year contract?
He was leading in the primaries, I think. Oh, sorry. You're talking about the goalie.
You know, he really said something that bothered me, guess in regards to the being against the gay marriage stuff. And he's also taking the year off, but he wants to come back to play for the Olympic team. Now,
what?
Okay. Did you not hear about this?
No, I hadn't heard that one.
Well, one of his main objectives to come back is because next year's an Olympic year.
So he wants to play in Sochi.
Yep.
Yeah. He thinks he'll beat out Jonathan Quick as the goalie for the U.S. Olympic team.
Not only that, he also kind of spoke against if you can play, you can play. Who founded if you can play, you can play?
Isn't that Brian Burke?
It is Brian Burke.
Yeah, because of his son.
Who's in charge of the U.S. Olympic team?
Brian Burke.
Exactly. 38 years old, you're going to take a year off. You, one, spoke against, not that Brian Burke can get around that, but you spoke against the values of an organization that he is very deeply, the Burke's very deeply involved with.
And committed to. Yeah.
And you refuse to go to the White House. And now you want to represent the country and USA Hockey.
Well, maybe he thinks he's a triple jumper from Greece or something. I don't know.
Yeah, just a point of clarification there too. And I think exactly the moves he's made are going to go against all those cards, aren't they? I was listening a little bit about that, and I don't think he actually said anything. I think what happened was it was Chick-fil-A. The owners of Chick-fil-A was on an interview. I think it was with a Christian radio network, and he made a comment saying he supported traditional marriage. And Tim Thomas came out on his Facebook, like he's done before, and said, "Well, I agree with him." So, and then of course, so Tim Thomas said he agreed with that. So,
against,
yeah, or whatever it was. So, I don't really want to go there at all, but it's just, you know, it's amazing how something like that can. Yeah, it's amazing how something like that would just take on a life of its own, right?
And do you really think Shirelli wants to deal with this again?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll be joining Wade Redden and, Saray's not playing in the AHL anymore. He's now playing for, was it Dallas or Colorado? So there might be another one in Dallas. There might be another very high paid AHL player next year when Tim Thomas is playing for, I can't think of who Boston's AHL team is. Providence. Yeah, Providence.
But they might do what Edmonton did with Saray. It's like, you know what? I don't want you on this team.
Stay at home. Yeah. Take him off the cap. Pay him, but stay at home. Who knows?
So,
look, this is all assuming, of course, that the CBA talks that are ongoing actually get anywhere. So, I know that has there been any? I haven't seen anything of a counteroffer from the NHLPA. I haven't seen anything of a modification of an offer from the owners, but hearing that they're talking at least, so that's at least somewhat positive.
They're talking. The PA just got a 76,000 page documents.
76,000?
76,000. I think it's probably all the financials.
Good Lord.
So you've got to break that down somehow.
$10 hammer.
Team of analysts.
The only thing that's got me kind of optimistic is when the PA came out and said, you know what, we have no problem playing under the old system for a year if we need to.
And why would they mind?
No, it's true, but the league's been making money, right?
Oh, absolutely. But
said it. There's some teams that aren't necessarily in the right spot.
But I think part of what's going on is that the I'm trying to remember where I read this recently, but it's the wealthy teams that are trying to, rather than having any sort of revenue sharing agreement like baseball does, like Kansas City is supported by the New York Yankees through transfer payments of you know, wealth distribution, for one. I don't know the exact terms, but the New York Yankees make, and you know, the Boston Red Sox make just unbelievable amounts of money.
They get cap penalties, so.
Yeah, but they also have revenue sharing arrangements built into the league, which the NHL doesn't have.
I think they also have a much better TV contract, though.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, the revenues for a lot of the TV contracts, or at least some of the TV contracts, go to the teams, not to the league.
Right. But also with that, like, there is a revenue sharing in MLB. Granted, those contracts are astronomical.
Oh, absolutely. But
when you've got to pay the cap penalties and then that money goes to the other teams, you're kind of buying, like, if you're the Yankees, you're paying for your payroll and, let's say, the Mariners' payroll.
Exactly. And that doesn't happen in the NHL.
No, not to that extent.
You don't see that the Rangers and the Leafs and the Habs and Philadelphia and Vancouver paying for Phoenix and Nashville and Edmonton, you know, the small market teams. It's the middle of the road teams are okay. The top teams want the cap to go up so they can spend more because they want it back to the old system of we're going to buy a winner. And the bottom teams are going, we can't even afford the floor. So all the owners get together and say, well, we'll just reduce the amount of money that goes to the players and that'll solve everything. And it's a little simplistic to my way of thinking, but that's just me.
Did you see what Virgil put in the Sens Underground forums?
Nope.
He said, the players aren't waiting for the season to start. The season was waiting for Alfie to give the green light.
Oh, yeah.
So, well done, Virgil. Yeah, kudos on that one.
He went on to say, you know, the owners in NHLPA wouldn't dare piss off Alfie now that he's trained for a month. And the clouds parted, and Alfie himself spoke to the Hockey Nation. I shall play. Let there be hockey.
Oh, that's brilliant. I haven't been to the forums in a day or two. I'll have to go back and look at that. That's great.
Use the forums, folks.
Use the forums, exactly. I'll give that out to, information out again at the end of the podcast for sure. The last thing I really want to talk about in just what's been going on in the league, and I want your thoughts on this as well, because it really made me pause and shake my head and in absolute disbelief that I was reading what was actually going on. And this is going back a little bit, so bear with me. Rafi Torres, for the hit that he put on Marian Hossa in the playoffs, which was unbelievably dirty, got it was a 25-game suspension, was it not? It was 25?
Yeah, 25 to start.
Okay. And the NHLPA went to Gary Bettman and said, we want you to reduce this. So they were representing Rafi Torres to the league commissioner saying, we want you to reduce the severity of the sentence for what Rafi Torres did. And I can understand that. They're representing their member to the boss of the league. But at the same time, they represent Marian Hossa. And if you pay, I think the way that the dues are paid are based on your salary. So quite frankly, Marian Hossa pays the NHLPA more than Rafi Torres does. So when the NHLPA went to Gary Bettman to say, we want this suspension reduced, were they acting in the interest of all of the people who pay their dues to the NHLPA or just one player and we won't worry about the one that they injured? I when I heard this was going on, it was a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment where I went, are you absolutely serious that you're taking the side of one of your members over the side of another of your members who was injured in the play that caused the suspension? And I just don't believe it. What do you guys think? I'm just staggered.
That's always confused me as to why doesn't Hossa have the right to just go back and file a complaint against it?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have to say, I don't know what sort of shape Hossa is in. I haven't really read anything about how his health is doing since then.
He's back to training now. But
is he? Okay.
Yeah.
It just blew my mind. It just absolutely blew my mind.
I think the takeaway here is that moving forward now into the new season, this is just a little glimpse in that there's going to be no silly decisions being made on suspensions going forward because they've cleaned up their act now, haven't they?
Well, Shanahan definitely.
Sarcasm, folks. Sarcasm.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was Brendan Shanahan.
Shanahan got it right.
He did.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, Gary Bettman reduced it. If I was him, you know what? I probably would have come back and said, yeah, after talking to you, 25 games was enough. 30.
Well, either that or here's my resignation. If you won't trust me to do my job, if I'm not allowed to do the job that you've given me to do in my own way, find some other patsy who will bend over and do exactly what you want with absolutely no regards to the job title, which is player safety.
Yeah.
The benefits must be good for him to stay there.
Well, here you go. Here's the last year, 12, 13 months from Rafi Torres. I'm on TSN again.
Okay.
April 7th, suspended for 4 games. December 31st. I remember this one back from the previous podcast. So December 31st, fine $2,500. The day before that was for a headshot, elbow to the head, I think it was.
Yeah.
The day before that, he got a call with a stern warning. Then on January 2nd, got suspended for 2 games.
For another headshot.
For another headshot.
Yeah.
So that was 3 within a week. And I remember Russell saying, if you would have suspended him for the 2 games after the first one, he would have done those 2.
Well, when this incident happened, I was actually, it was the night that I was on with the SU guys. I think
yeah,
you were there as well, too. It was both of us. And it was just the, I couldn't believe it was happening again.
Again. Then April 21st, suspended 25 games, now down to 23.
Unreal.
So he's been suspended for 20, if we give Shanahan one, 25, 29, 31 games within a year. And that's 3 suspensions, 1 fine, and 1 warning.
Yeah.
Why are you giving this guy a reduction?
Exactly. Why are you cutting it down? It just blew my mind when I read that. I mean, I know it's going back a while, but I still haven't been able to rationalize it.
Join the NHL now, folks. Your first 3 suspensions, or your first 3 headshots are suspension free.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Unreal. Anyway, sorry. That was my little rant that I just had to get out there because I was trying to, I'm still trying to make sense of it. And I think I'm trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. And I need to stop trying.
You said it best. Whiskey yep. Tango Foxtrot.
There you go. Well, I try and keep it, you know, it's just one of those things that comes out once in a while. Anyway, Canuck, you got an email to read. We have our first email to read.
We do.
On the air.
It's kind of funny how we talk about email and then you hear the sound of a paper rattling here.
That's tradition.
It is tradition. This email is from Ivan White. Hey, call-ups. Thanks for being the first guys to grab sweat, spit, and beer drenched rains left dangling freely from the ashes of the Sens underground. Now for my questions and comments, I don't want Neil to carry the load on the frightening other players from bullying our players role. Even though he's absolutely awesome at it, how close is Darren Kramer from taking Neil's place? And is it possible for the Sens to come together more as a team and give Neil a rest as a unit? Great show last week. Keep it up. And I might just come to you guys and visit you guys as well. Regards, Ivan White.
You can stay with Canuck.
Stay with Canuck. Okay, I stamped it too. No erasing.
I'm pretty sure Russell's ready. I saw some preps on the forum. He's getting ready.
Getting some heavy-duty vapor barriers, some tarps, that sort of thing.
Thank you for the email, Ivan. That's great.
Awesome.
And being the first official email read here on the Sens call-ups, I'd like to file that in a very special place. We've got a filing cabinet just for that. There we go. Thanks, Ivan.
Nice.
Well done. Just to quickly answer the question, we were talking about Kramer a little earlier. I think he has another year of junior eligibility. I'm not sure, but I think he does. But
Why not bring him up, though? Or at least to bingo.
Well, if he has a year of junior eligibility, he has to play in junior.
You have to?
Yeah. If you're still eligible to play in junior, you have to play in junior. You're not allowed to go to the AHL. You can play in the NHL.
But can't Neeson and Pumple just go to
if you're still eligible for junior, you have to play in junior. You can play in the NHL, but if you're not playing in the NHL, you have to go back to junior. I'm 99% sure on that. If I'm not, I'm sure the forums or our email and Twitter will light up and tell me that I'm completely wrong. But as far as I can remember, if you're still eligible for junior, you have to go back to junior. Mm. And I think he still is for another year. But,
well, then that gives him another year then.
Yeah. And last year he cut down on his penalty minutes and upped his goal totals. So he could be another sort of Chris Neal in the making. He's a guy who actually can play. He's not a... you know, nailed to the bench, gets 3 shifts a game, one of which he goes out and pounds on somebody.
Is he going to be like a Milan Lucic? I'd love that.
Well, you see, that's what I'd really like to see. Or another Chris Neal. He's bigger than Chris Neal. He's a big lad.
He's got more points, too.
Yeah. And he invents peanut butter jars. So, you know, he's definitely somebody to keep around.
No, I'm looking forward to him. In the interim, we've got some other guys. Griba's a big guy. Borkop's pretty big. I think we touched on it a bit too, that some other secondary guys can drop. Mathot's fought. Zach Smith is around. Colin Greening dropped the gloves a couple times. So as a team toughness, we've got it. The heavyweights, maybe not yet.
Not yet. We'll see.
You can pick someone up.
But if it's, and rather than having one big heavyweight, if we just have a team that's tough to play against and we can, you know, be tough to play against and rub them out physically and make it tough to score if they're sitting in the penalty box and run
exactly.
up the score.
Exactly.
See. I mean, LA doesn't have a thug. They won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
They're just tough to play against. So maybe we'll go that direction. I'm not sure. We'll see. I'm still, I am keeping an eye on them, though. So if there's people in the, if we have listeners out in the Western Hockey League who, especially in Spokane by any chance, or who go to games when Spokane is playing there, let us know. Let us know what his game looks like. I'm all ears.
Actually, something else I'd love to the listeners here, and I don't know what happened to Pucknut, but if we've got anyone that follows Bingo, I would love to have you guys on the show. Touching back on emails, we've had a couple other people email in. We'll definitely get you guys on. Just it's kind of rushed through this one and didn't have much time, but definitely during the season we'll have you. Had a couple other emails from some other listeners, and thanks a lot for the kind words and all the support there too. So we're not just ignoring those emails, just to give you a bit of a shout out now, but
yes,
we will
thank
get
you.
To anyone else there too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ben, you have something you want to bring up.
Yeah. Got an idea for a contest for you guys. This I thought of after Bobby Butler got bought out, and just thought as to how big of a disappointment that was. So for all you listeners out there, throwing it out, feel free to either email us or post it on Twitter. We'll go hashtag SCU contest. Hashtag sends would be great too, just to kind of get a bit of a grow there. But just to talk about what your most disappointing Sens memory is.
Yeah, and if you're not on Twitter.
Yep, email.
Okay.
In
cool.
the forums, we'll take it all from there. So as an example, and we'll kind of do a roundabout in this. Mine would be the first year that Ottawa made the playoffs, Game 7 overtime, and that shot that Tugnut kind of caught, and then it just went into the net right after. That was an absolute disappointment for me. Canuck, what's yours?
Right off the top of my head, thinking of the fourth time we faced the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs, when we weren't so weak and heartless, and we made it to Game 7, and the goals that Patrick Alim let in. I think it was a couple of them, you know, skating down the right left-hand side, and just the goals that blew by him, and that really lost that Game 7.
Weren't those all Gary Roberts, too?
No, it was Nieuwendyk, I think.
Nieuwendyk, that's it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same sort of thing. Like, it was the whole, it wasn't just Patrick Laliem. I mean, it was the whole
game.
The team was just collapsing.
It was the deflating goal, and you saw it.
Yeah, yeah. That was going to be mine as well. So I'm sure people will start coming up with really obscure ones, which are, I'm kind of interested in seeing what other people's opinions are. But so let us know via email or via Twitter. Post them in the forum. If you want to, are you going to start a separate thread in the forum for that?
Yeah, I'll start a separate one for in the forums there. Cool. I do have a great prize. I want to keep that one as a surprise for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
I'm really hoping Labrou doesn't win, though, because I do not want to ship this to the Netherlands.
Come on, Labrou.
That's going to cost me a pretty penny.
I want to see him pay for that shipping.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. I want to see something good. Right on. So that'll be going on for a little while yet. So you have some time to think about this. And
I think we'll announce that next show.
Yeah. Let us know. All right. You guys got anything else you want to talk about? I think we've taken up enough of the listeners' time for a show that we weren't expecting to do.
We did it again. They're almost an hour and 20 minutes now.
Oh, wow.
Gravy. You guys got anything else? Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to bring up?
No, you know, these summer shows, you know, they're fun to do because this is exciting for us. But I personally find the summer it's harder to talk about things when we don't have games to watch and react to and stuff like that. So I'm so looking forward to the season where we have, you know, lots of things happening during the week in Sens land to talk about, as well as right across the NHL. So
even preseason, I just want to get some hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. All right. Well, just before we go, a quick reminder that if you want to become part of the Sens Underground Network, the information on how to become involved to, you know, get your own product out on the Sens Underground Network airwaves is on the blog page of sensunderground.com, and you can contact the lads at podcast@sensunderground.com if you want some more information. You can still post on the forums at sendsunderground.com. You can also email us. We had a few. We read one tonight, and we really love getting them. But you can reach us at podcast@sendscallups.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at sendscallups, and you can also tweet at us there. So, on behalf of Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal. Thanks for joining us again for an unexpected but really good news show in the summer.
Golden God!
We'll be back again in the fall.
Alfie! 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 Alfie!
Good night, folks.
See ya.